All right. First thing I want to say is there's going to be a couple times where we're going to reflect on a couple things. I'm going to ask you to be thinking on stuff, and then we'll share. If part of that, if you want to join me in a cup of coffee, you know, feel free to grab some coffee or some tea. But also, if you want to grab a worship aid, I know sometimes we don't utilize those, but as we're thinking about different ways to think about peace and about fear, if there are other ways that you want to represent that through art or just in working with your hands, feel free to please utilize those resources. So I'll also say I'm not sure why I wore black tonight, so close to Christmas. And then as we were praying and recognizing all the stuff in this world that is just so troubling right now, I've been kind of steeped in it as I've been preparing for this sermon, and so I wonder if that was on my head. But anyways, before I pray, or before I start, let's go into God in prayer quick. God, as we come to you this evening hungry, hungry for peace, peace that surpasses all understanding, we ask that you work in us and work through us, and let this evening be a time for us to be energized and awakened and called into your service in this world. Amen. So if you take just the passage for tonight on peace, we read, "For the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for fire." Merry Christmas. It's kind of an odd thing to when you take that piece, it's kind of an odd place in how we're thinking about Advent. But obviously, as we've talked about already tonight, we have this shared hunger for peace right now. And I think that that's quite obvious. And so what we're going to talk about tonight is the different ways that how peace has kind of come into context in our current world, what in the passage in Isaiah might have been referring to, and then a little bit of some action steps. So we're gonna talk about the dead people and blood and fire a little later. But let's jump right into this idea of being hungry for peace. I had this whole introduction that I was thinking that I'd have to get us into that mindset, but I think we're there. We've established, you know, with the violence in Aleppo and the kind of cultural violence that plagues so many regions, including ours, in the world, is all around us. And then there's like the subversive kind of not always outside and physical violence that also hurts things, and we'll talk about a little bit of that too. I don't think that there's anyone who would argue with this general feeling that we've talked about tonight, this general feeling of dis-ease in the current state of things. We may, as a country right now, be divided on a lot of things, but a lot of that division is over how do we respond to this. And I think that the call for us as Christians is super important. So this is all to say, I think, and I'm biased because I'm talking, but I think that this message on peace is one of the most important that we have in this series. And so anyways, I feel this burden, not this burden to like tell you something awesome, because what I'm hoping is that we're going to share with one another. But so let's join in this and start. Earlier today, I invited who all was on Facebook and saw the invite that I invited you all to respond to a question. The question was, what are some ways or what are some things, people, places, events that make you feel angry? What are some ways, people, things, events that make you feel scared that might cause you harm or put you in a state of dis-ease? And then I asked you about kind of the antithesis of that question, but we're gonna just focus on this. What are the things that put us in a state of dis-ease? We're gonna take 30 seconds and just think on that, and then we're gonna share a few of those out there. So take 30 seconds to yourself. What are the things that cause you dis-ease, that cause you fear, that cause you hurt, or that you see causing hurt in other people? I'm going to read, before we all share, a poem by Wendell Berry, The Peace of the Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come to the peace of the wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come to the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light for a time. I rest in the grace of the world, and I am free. And I share that because we're about to focus on some things that I think are not so happy. What are some things that cause fear or angst? I'm going to start by writing Aleppo down here because I heard it earlier. What else? What causes fear? What causes dis-ease? In your homes, in your communities, in our church, in our world? A couple things? Shout them out.
I would think, for me, it's always anytime I see a lack of regard for any kind of humanity, whether it's most often.
Okay. Sorry for the chalkboard. I forgot my whiteboard. Abuse and mistreatment. Handguns. Both accidental and intentional use. What was that? The unknown. That's a hard one, huh? Are you type A, by the way? No. It's a joke. I don't like the unknown either. Okay. Anyone else? Broken relationships. Yeah. By what?
I'm not going to get what I want or what I think I need.
I'm not going to get what I want or what I think I need. Is that right? What I think I need. It's so small you can't read it anyway, so it doesn't matter if I misspell. We'll take two more. Danae? Sickness. My guess is we could continue to fill this out all night, right? There are so many things that we can think of that cause us this dis-ease, that cause us to this sense of angst or lack of ability to rest. Do you ever, if you're like me, have any of you just laid awake at night worrying about this stuff? A combination of it or a piece here and there? I've had a few nights in the past month or two where I've literally not been able to sleep. It's just defying. Defying is not the right word. It keeps people from living in a state of joy, but even more than that, it keeps people from operating on a normal level where we can interact with people in a healthy way. It affects my whole being. And so for me, this idea of learning to how can we promote peace? How am I hungry for peace? How can I act on that hunger for peace is incredibly important, because we have a call to be restorative and a call for this restoration. And so we're going to talk about a couple different ways to do it. But first, I want to recognize that there are some times with our seemingly good intentions that we've addressed this longing for peace in some broken ways. And I really appreciate the use of these utensils tonight as our sign for peace, because to me, this is one of the things that I think is oftentimes we forget. This knife is an incredible tool. I love steak. And sometimes you can cook steak well enough that you just need a butter knife. But a knife can be used for incredible harm. And I think sometimes the tools that we intend to use for good, even when they're intended for good use, can have really bad unintentional consequences. And the church is one of those tools. And we have to be careful about that. We're known as a peace church. And to what harm are we willing to cause to uphold that identity as a peace church? You know, that's a question we have to ask ourselves. What is our responsibility as people, as a nation with privilege and power, to uphold that identity and that peace? We've done some incredible things, influenced a lot of great things. We've also influenced a lot of things negatively, and I'm wondering. I'm wondering what we might do to start to write a different narrative. That instead of aiming for a peace that is on the surface and a peace that kind of looks really good, a peace that is holistic, because sometimes it's messy. And this is the kind of peace that I think, to jump into the text, this is the kind of peace that this is calling us towards. So if you all want to remember back to Isaiah chapter 9, I don't know if you have your Bibles with you, the verse for tonight is verse 5. And it says, "For all the boots of tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire." And as crass as this verse may sound, I think that it provides a really nice picture for us in how we address this idea of a surface kind of peacemaking and a holistic kind of peacemaking. The boots of tramping warriors, in the times that we're talking about, back in the times of Isaiah, armies, most even foot soldiers, if you can imagine, would go into battle in sandals, right? And so boots were often worn by high-ranking officers, by cavalry, and these boots were obviously highly sought after. So in the plunder of battle, when you're going over a battlefield, these boots are going to be one of the first things to get taken off of people, okay? And so keep that in the back of your head. The other thing, this garments rolled in blood, this is the most confusing thing ever to me. I had to look it up. The garments rolled in blood, it refers to this practice of dipping your garments in blood, dipping your weapons in blood to kind of, to say, you know, have you ever heard the expression, the fields and the hillsides were painted red with the blood of their enemies? It's this idea of, you know, we are a strong and powerful army. I'm a powerful warrior, and the blood of my enemies is on me. It's not my blood, it's the blood of my enemies. And there's some interesting correlations in Revelation that we don't have time to get to tonight. But this is idea of I'm powerful, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to fix this. And sometimes when we see things of peace, we see wrongdoing, we see abuse, and I'm not going to, I can't pretend to have the right answer, but sometimes we go in and we cause a lot of harm in order to get the right thing done. And I think that this is calling us to something different, because this fuel for the fire means that we need to build our peace on a new foundation. The peace of Christ is not a peace of conquering and making things right in our perspective. The fuel for the fire means that we need to take the things that we think are right and we think are just, and we need to start working for them. In ways that promote the kingdom of God. This new order, if we look to Ephesians 2, Chris brought to us a few weeks ago when he was talking about freedom. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. I'm going to read from 11. So then remember that at one time you were Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcised by those who were circumcised. And remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of a promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now with Christ Jesus, who you were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, and in his flesh we have both made both groups into one group. And both things are drawn into one, and they have broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. And Chris talked about this dividing wall in this idea of breaking out from our bounds. But tonight, I think the dividing wall is the things that we see as barriers for this peace. Kind of part of this reflection, James Hogan noticed that in a project one of our community members, Mark Lemaire, did. They did this project of peace. I think we have some pictures there. This is a dividing wall, and he asked a couple of questions of people, and they wrote down the things that built up a wall between people. And as we talk about, as I think about peace and as I imagine peace, I imagine the different things that are barriers and the things I need to fix. I'm a fixer. Any of you fixers? When I look at these bricks and I think about all the different things that are on there, I want to take each brick and I kind of want to rub it out, and I want to use the brick again. And it kind of takes us back to this idea that I think we're reading in Isaiah. That dividing wall, those bricks, they're eventually going to be molded into something completely different. We can't take those bricks and build a different wall. We can't restructure the wall. We can't make it different. We're not going to build a wall. Sorry. And I think, thanks, awkward late laughter. I just think that there's an interesting picture that James drew in this. And I think that we're called to find practices and find ways that we can restore the shalom peace and the shalom justice that doesn't look like us going in and fixing everything. Sometimes I think that there are practices that we can get involved in, and there are ways that we can start restoring things in a new manner. So anyways, I'm getting way off traffic and off topic and off my notes, but I want to come back to this idea of us approaching this new narrative in humility. So to bring us in, the new narrative is the idea of not doing things in the old way. We're not going to use our swords. We're not going to use our knives as weapons. We're not going to take the boots from plunder and kind of do the same thing over again. We're going to restore things in a new way. So I want us to look at this list, the things that are causing us dis-ease, the mistrust, the things that are the unknown, the bullying, the broken relationships, this fear that I'm not going to get what I need. What are the ways that these are causing dis-ease that we can engage with them? What are the ways that we can engage with the world and start developing practices that speak a new narrative? So rather than looking at each of these individual problems and thinking about the broken pieces and how we can fix them, what are ways that we can start a new narrative and write a new script? I'm going to give us 30 seconds to just think a little bit. You don't have to solve all the world's problems in 30 seconds. But 30 seconds to just think about what are some practices that we can kind of come into. So, for me, one of the practices that I have committed to this week is to recognize where the fear of others that I don't understand is coming from. To be honest about my fear, but to recognize where the fear is coming from others. Is it going to solve everyone's problems? Maybe not. Probably not. But hopefully it's a new step. What other practices, if you want to share, does anyone feel like they want to share a practice that might come? Prayer? Listening? Forgiveness? Something empathy? Choosing to be empathetic. Sorry? Yes, yes. Be empathetic to people you're not predisposed to be empathetic to. Seeing people around you. You're challenging me right now, Karna. Because that suggests I don't see the people around me. Thank you. So you had a friend in D.C. Who was asking people's names and getting to know people and identifying them as who they were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. So, and specifically addressing these two, the fear of the unknown and fearing about not getting what we need, to lean into that trust and lean into that trust in God and the community of God's people. Yeah. Anything else? One more here. So if someone gets in your space if someone's annoying to you, rather than dwelling on the fact that they are incredibly annoying, obviously you can see where I usually go, think about the fact that they're created, known, and loved by God. Okay, so this is the thing. As we read, I'm going to close by reading the last little bit of our Isaiah. Actually, if it's easy for you to go back a couple slides, this is the Christ portion. So we have the portion on peace for this week is, for all the boots of the tramping warriors and the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. And now let's read together this Isaiah 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. On the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Amen, right? Amen. Right here at the end of 5, after all this crazy imagery with the boots and the blood and all this stuff, it says, they'll be burned as fuel to fire, and it will be established. My translation, it doesn't say it will be burned in the fire. My translation says it'll be destined for fire. Those things are destined for fire. The things of the past, the ways that we knew how to deal with stuff, it's destined to be gone. A new thing is coming. A messianic way of addressing peace is coming. And the challenge is for us to look at this last piece. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Sometimes we look at that and say, okay, the Lord's going to accomplish this. We don't have to. But the important thing is to remember that the Greek isn't exactly, Terry told me that I'd sound smart if I said this, but I'm going to just admit to you all that I'm not smart. Okay, someone told me this. Chris Sankler told me this. The Greek is not specific here on whether this zeal is God's zeal, like the Lord's zeal, or if this is our zeal for the Lord. Okay? Thank you, Chris. So, because we're not sure what that is, it's really not, I think, okay for us to just rest in the fact that it'll happen. I think it's really important for us to think about some of these different ways of engaging, some of these new ways, this new fire, these places for us to ask new questions and to change our practice. And so I just leave you with these couple of questions. How do I sit in my current reality of peace or dis-ease? How do I sit with these things? How do I interact with others in fear? How do I recognize my own fear? What actions and practices can I take to create safe space in my life, in my neighborhood, and in my community? And what actions and practices can we take as a community to create safe space?